A reading from the Book of Lamentations, chapter 2. The Lord has consumed without pity all the dwellings of Jacob. God has torn down in anger the fortresses of daughter Judah. God has brought to the ground in dishonor her king and her princes. On the ground in silence sit the old men of daughter Zion. They strew dust on their heads and gird themselves with sackcloth. The maidens of Jerusalem bow their heads to the ground. Worn out from weeping are my eyes. Within me all is in ferment. My gall is poured out on the ground because of the downfall of the daughter of my people. As child and infant faint away in the open spaces of the town. In vain they ask their mothers, "Where is the grain?" as they faint away like the wounded in the streets of the city, and breathe their last in their mother's arms. To what can I liken or compare you, O daughter Jerusalem? What example can I show you for your comfort, virgin daughter Zion? For great as the sea is your downfall, who can heal you? Your prophets had for you false and specious visions. They did not lay bare your guilt to avert your fate. They beheld for you in vision false and misleading portents. Cry out to the Lord, moan, O daughter Zion. Let your tears flow like a torrent, day and night. Let there be no respite for you, no repose for your eyes. Rise up shrill in the night at the beginning of every watch. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to God for the lives of your little ones who faint from hunger at the corner of every street. The word of the Lord. Why read from chapter 2 of the Book of Lamentations for the first reading for today instead of from chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke, the second reading on this feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary? Why do that? Because I think we need to hear it. The tears of Mary as she searched 3 days for her lost 12-year-old, and our tears, the tears of our world, could be said to meet in the Book of Lamentations. That short book, comprised of 5 poems, compels the reader or the hearer to look pain squarely in the eye. To unspeakable human anguish, the Book of Lamentations gives human voice. Does Mary experience unspeakable anguish? Before the finding in the temple, while her child is still lost, ask any mother, any parent who has searched for a lost child. Does our world, do we as citizens of our world, experience unspeakable anguish in our never-ending wars, enormous natural and human disasters, worldwide poverty and hunger and homelessness, multiple killings of schoolchildren around our country, the widespread practice of the torture of solitary confinement in our prisons, even in juvenile centers, a federal government paralyzed in congressional gridlock, pervasive and severe economic, political, and ecological crises, too often stemming from a reigning culture of insatiable greed, it's all breathtaking. We are faced daily with unspeakable anguish, and my list is certainly not an exhaustive account of our reasons for communal lament. Nevertheless, we do not seem to be good at the prayer of lament, despite our world situation, and even in our personal lives. We have all suffered very painful losses and found that after a rather short time, others give us indications, either directly or indirectly, that we should get over it, get on with it, however premature that may truly be. We seem to be uncomfortable with grieving, our own and others, unable or unwilling to acknowledge the depth of our pain. Some cultures are better at lamentation than others. I remember when my brother was killed in 1944 at the age of 19 in World War II. We, of course, had a memorial mass with the flag-draped catafalque in the center aisle of the church, and our sorrow was excruciating. As a family, we felt inconsolable, and we pretty much kept it to ourselves. Just a few months later, another boy in the parish was killed, and there was another memorial mass in our small village church. As a teenager, I remember being frightened when at some point at that mass, several older women, all in black, surrounded the catafalque, threw their bodies over it, and wailed aloud. Though frightened by that scene and the sound at that time, it has occurred to me many times since that their expression of grief was entirely in proportion to the depth of that family's sorrow. It was what we McCormicks had felt, but our family culture was too restrained to express it so openly. Simeon told Mary at the presentation in the temple, "A sword will pierce your heart." One translation I read said, "A sword will pierce your very soul." That's a very striking image, very strong language. I suspect that those who selected the liturgical readings for today's feast to honor Mary's Immaculate Heart had Simeon's prediction in mind when they chose a passage from Lamentations for part of today's Liturgy of the Word. Now, the only thing I have ever read about the Book of Lamentations is a book I would highly recommend by the biblical scholar Kathleen O'Connor. It's entitled Lamentations and the Tears of the World, and it's a beautiful elucidation of the Book of Lamentations as a work of art expressing human emotion in poetic form. The author makes very clear that Lamentations is not the whole story. It certainly does not contain all there is to say about God's relationship to the world. But she does write, it is perilous for us to skip over this part of our story, the truth of our suffering that calls for prayer of lament. Mary knew the truth of suffering. We have sentimentalized a lot about her and her Immaculate Heart. But I hear in our readings today an invitation to remember that what has been said metaphorically, her heart pierced with a sword, is literally matched in her actual sufferings, like that of losing her 12-year-old son for 3 days. And so her Immaculate Heart understands the brokenhearted. Through her own tears, she will teach us how to pray for the tears of the world.